Love Osho podcast brings you the real stories of the people whose lives have been inspired and transformed by Osho. We explore why thousands of people are falling in love with Osho and where to find them. Take a deep breath and enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to the Love Osho podcast. My name is Swaram and I'm the host. Today our guest is Kara Amy. Kara is an entrepreneur, storyteller and poet who qualified as a barrister of England and Wales in 2018. Kara was practicing commercial law in London before being unexpectedly locked down in Costa Rica during the COVID-19 pandemic. As a result, Kara is now working on establishing a self-sustainable and eco-friendly healing sanctuary and community center in Costa Rica for events, workshops, and retreats. Kara, welcome to the Love Osho podcast. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Beautiful morning here in Costa Rica.
Wonderful. So I'm super happy to have you on the show and chat with you about your life journey. I met you around 2016 in London, and I think you were studying to qualify as a barrister. And I was really impressed by the fact that you are so young and already almost a barrister, which you became shortly after. And I've seen that happening. I was so proud of you because I've worked with barristers and I know how tough it is to get there. And for people who are not familiar with the UK legal system, a barrister is a type of lawyer who can be appointed as judge. So essentially it's the career path to become a judge. And now you live in Costa Rica, singing songs, writing poems, and planning to start a healing sanctuary. So that's quite a change of scenery. And I'd love to unpack the story of how you transitioned from being potentially a judge in the UK to living in a treehouse in Costa Rica. And this story includes dynamic meditation and Osho. So that's why also we are here talking on the Love Osho podcast. So let's get into it. Tell us a little bit about the start of this transition.
Yes, it's been quite a journey. And really, it all began when I was suffering from some health issues. And I was going to see many doctors. Nobody could tell what was wrong with me. I was being told I had a chronic fatigue or some other issue like this, but really it was not actually explaining or helping me with any of these symptoms that I was having. And I began to get very depressed and anxious. Suddenly, my whole vision for the future, my potential future career, everything felt very threatened, all I really knew about for what I had planned in my life. And then one incredible thing happened to me when I was actually on holiday in Greece, in Corfu, where I know you are living now. And I just by chance came across this meditative arts festival. And I was there just for the last evening of that festival. And I had an incredible experience and remember feeling happy and such joy like I had never really experienced in my life before. And I returned to London and I was inspired just to open my mind up and to explore meditation and start to look at the world through a new lens. And then I think it was on Eventbrite that I had a notification about a free trial for a dynamic meditation class. And at the time, I had no idea what this was going to involve. But I thought, well, this sounds interesting and I'm really desperate to change my life, to get back in control of my health, to feel good in my body again, to have control of my mind and break these cycles of anxiety and depression and stagnation and feeling stuck. So I go along to this dynamic meditation class and I was so shocked. I had no idea what to expect, and it was beyond anything that I could have even imagined. And even to the point, I think maybe if I'd known what it was going to involve, maybe I wouldn't have gone. I'd be too scared to. but it really triggered so many wonderful things. And that's really where I can trace this transformation back to. And then I started to do these weekly sessions with you after this trial. And I noticed just such a profound shift in the way I see the world. I started to view my life in a more rounded way. I started to see things beyond just my academic and professional achievements and to, I suppose, build up a vision of my life that was more balanced and to understand my body, my mind, and how all these different aspects fit together and how we can actually heal ourselves physically through also the attitudes and the mentalities that we have. So this, for me, appreciating this mind-body link was the beginning of just a whole transformation.
Wow. Okay. Actually, I didn't know the full story. I remember, of course, you coming to the weekly class, but I didn't know that it started with the free dynamic. And so it's really cool to hear. And I remember you had, as you mentioned, some quite serious health conditions, and you would stop after the class and we would talk and you would say that your blood sugar was really going out of the roof, up and down, and that, you know, sometimes you would feel very weird. Yet you could do dynamic meditation, which is quite physically demanding. And I remember you in the third stage, especially, you were jumping like I've never seen anyone jumping so high, so intensely. So can you describe what you felt during the meditation, especially in the third stage, and how that relates to the health condition? In theory, you were supposed to have a chronic fatigue.
Yes. So it's interesting because when I mentioned to you that if I'd known what dynamic meditation would involve, I probably wouldn't have gone. It's because of how physically weak I was at the time. And I was having issues, not just with the blood sugar that you mentioned, but also, quite severe pain in my joints and general fatigue. I was in bed for sometimes at least, well, over 12 hours a day. And I think what happened when I started the dynamic and on that first session, I remember, I suppose, because I just dived right into it and I had no idea what it was going to involve. And I found myself becoming so immersed in the process that it was almost like I had really transcended my body and I wasn't caught up in my body anymore. I wasn't experiencing the pain and the suffering in this physical container, I suppose. And that's where I started to appreciate this mind-body link, that actually I had been caught in this vicious cycle that was going just spiraling downward. Because as I was having these physical symptoms, my mind, I was getting more anxious and depressed about it. I was creating this, essentially just being caught up in this negative energy. And then that in turn was making me feel more fatigued, more in pain, and it, just the cycle continued downwards. So what I experienced was suddenly there was almost like this dissociation between my mind, my body, and something else. And I felt no longer limited by my physical condition. And that really began a journey for me where I began more and more to meditate and notice myself transcending my pain and my physical ailments. And then that was, I could see the feedback of that on my health. And I mean, the transformation wasn't instantaneous in terms of my physical body. And it took a long time with many different, integrating many different techniques, changing my diet, sleep patterns, everything to really come out of that cycle. But what the meditation did was it gave me this boost that made it, it gave me glimpses of what I could be, that I could be free from these limitations. And then it gave me the courage to really just continue on this path and to believe that healing was possible when I'd just been told so many times by doctors, you know, there's nothing we can do for you. And it was that inner belief in myself, which I I feel really allowed me to ultimately heal.
I think this is very powerful and it resonates a lot because, of course, it's not that dynamic meditation is a magic pill. You do it once or for a week or three and then all your problems dissolve. But what you mentioned is really the central point, I think, for me and for many other people I've known, is that dynamic meditation can give that experience of inner strength. You feel that energy and that transcendence of the body and the mind that gives you courage to then take all the other steps you need to take. You know, you need to change your diet. You need to change your habits. If you have a very stressful job, you know, you can do dynamic and it helps to cope, but eventually you may want to consider to change the profession. Otherwise you're just, you know, firefighting all your life. So that power of dynamic meditation that gives you that, it's like that starts the engine of that energy upward spiral. It's so important because otherwise you just are in a limbo and it's so hard to get the first steps to come out. Mm. So yeah. Can you describe a bit more in details what you felt during the practice of the meditation?
Mm. So would it be helpful to talk about the different stages? Because there's, as you know, there's very different emotions and feelings in the different stages. And also for those who do not know about the technique. So there are these five stages. And the first one is a breathing technique, which is arrhythmic. So it's designed, you're supposed to not fall into a pattern. You're supposed to these sharp exhales of breath. And every time you notice you're falling into a rhythm, you need to change it. And the idea of this stage is to really break up those patterns, break up those rhythms that are in our mind. And during this stage, when I really got the technique and started to understand really how I'm supposed to be breathing and not falling into these cycles, I would notice just this, there's like a kind of chaos in my mind, but also a calm, because suddenly I'm breaking up all these thought patterns. And the breathing technique is so intense as well that you can't think during this stage. You're just focused on this, expelling the air, and you're again being conscious and aware of every time you start to fall back into the rhythm and the cycle. So I feel in this stage just this energy of expulsion and of breaking patterns and of being very immersed in the breath and connected to the breath as well. And then this flows into the next stage, which is a catharsis. And if you do the breathing technique, if you really commit to the breathing, then the catharsis will just naturally come. And it's just this beautiful moment of release. And I would experience different things depending, because it's a release. You're not controlling it. It's just whatever comes out of you. And it is such a liberating feeling because, you know, when in society is it really acceptable to start shouting, just screaming out all our rage? You know, if someone has upset us at work, someone has upset us at home, or if our own upset with ourselves, when do we just get to scream? Or other times, you know, it's not a rage which comes up, but it could be joy, it could be bliss, it could be any emotion. And the catharsis stage is so beautiful because it's just allowing the expression of anything that is going on in us, any emotion, any feeling to come up and to be dispersed and released. And it is truly wonderful and liberating to just be able to express, because so much in society, we are really taught to close up, to not to speak what we want, to be the good girl or the good boy. And so that is really just a wonderful to be able to feel that. So then we go into this jumping stage, which you mentioned that I jumped like never. And this is a very intense physically demanding stage where you have your hands in the air and you are like in a kind of star jump, jumping jack position, and you are just jumping up and down. And every time you impact the ground, you make the noise whoo. And the idea is that you are building up, you are concentrating the energy around in the root, the pelvis. And it's, you just jump and you jump. And the more you jump, the more you're activating this energy, this core energy, and you're almost not jumping in a physical way. I would feel like something else is taking over me. Like I have energy, an energy source that is beyond this physical body. And that's, I suppose, what I was able to do, that even if I was physically feeling weak, I would somehow tap into this other energy and find myself jumping so high and so wildly. And the more I did the dynamic, the more I noticed almost like electrical currents flowing through my body, in particular around my wrists. I would experience like almost like I had handcuffs on of energy and just feeling like these pulses around my wrists. And then they would travel down my arms. And this intensified, this feeling of an electrical current intensified the more I practiced dynamic. And sometimes I would feel as though I was being lifted up into the sky. Like again, like someone had their hands around my wrists and was pulling me up. And the more I surrendered into this, the more I felt just connected with this this practice, again, the more that I just transcended my own physical body. So then we come to the meditation stage where the jumping finishes, suddenly on the recording there's a stop and you're supposed to hold this position no matter what position it is for 15 minutes. And this is still in stillness and silence. There's no music, unlike in the earlier sections. And I had often had, well, a very busy mind, a very anxious mind. I would always have thoughts flying around in it. But when it came to the meditation stage in the Osho Dynamic Meditation, I experienced just true peace and stillness. And it's like all the other stages prepare you to arrive at the stillness, because you've got out all your emotions, you've built up all this energy, and then you're just holding it. And I really experienced some of the most, some of the deepest and stillest moments of meditation in the Osho Dynamic Cycle. And of course, sometimes, you know, it's not always that you're there for 15 minutes and it's just pure peace and meditation. Absolutely not. It is quite physically demanding at that stage, because maybe you're frozen with your hands in the air. And as the time goes by, you start to become aware of the discomfort in your body, you know, feeling the physicalities of everything you've done in the previous stages. But what I found is that the more I kind of just notice those feelings and accept them and breathe into them, again, I would have these moments of really transcending my physical body. And it was definitely a challenging stage in some ways, because many times I would, you know, want to give up. But that's, I suppose, a bit reflective of life as well. You know, when we get into challenging moments, sometimes we feel, no, we can't do this. We, you know, we want to put our arms down. We want to sit down. We want to say, no, I can't handle this. But again, the practice of dynamic starts to build up that realization that, no, you can transcend this. And then finally, it's the stage, which I think actually is my favorite, where there's a beautiful, like gentle celebration I love the music in that stage, and it's just really just celebrating and feeling everything that you've done and bringing the sequence to a completion, and just a soft dance. And in this stage, I would often just feel joy, and no matter what my experience has been, you know, maybe I will have put my arms down that time and not really achieved the meditative state that I desired. But no matter what, I found in this last stage, I would always just connect with myself and be gentle with my body, and proud of myself for showing up in that space and making the effort. And that in that stage, I would always feel just so happy and bliss and connection with life, and also the energy of all the other people who are in the room participating with in the dynamic meditation. So I think that's why it's my favorite and why it's so beautiful, because it's just the nice way in which it brings everything together.
Wow, impressive. It's so beautiful the way you described it, and it's so real and also realistic in showing the brilliancy of this meditation as well as the challenges. And I agree totally with you. I could have said it not as beautiful as you did, but similarly, apart from the fact that for me my favorite stage is the third one. But what really piqued my curiosity is when you said that if you have heard the description before actually signing up for the class, you probably would have said, you know, this is not for me. This is kind of weird. You know, it's nothing to do with meditation. But then you actually did. You had the experience and it changed your life. So this is something that is quite striking. And for someone who aims to make this practice more available to people, it's a bit of a conundrum. How would you, you know, just out of curiosity, just for the sake of chatting, how would you go about that?
Well, I think the key with a lot of these practices, not just dynamic meditation, but I think the first step in trying to make different techniques more accessible and to pique people's interest is to it's really to encourage the opening of someone's mind. And I think that for me, you know, I was in a place when I came to dynamic, I was just losing a lot of faith in the system of Western medicine. I was desperate to try anything. And I got to such a point where in my mind, I said, okay, I'm going to try anything, to see anything that's going to help me get out of this phase that I'm stuck in. And what I find is that with a lot of techniques that I suppose, well, I don't like to use the word alternative, but there are these labels sometimes that we have in society. And I feel a big problem is that in society, a lot of minds have been shut down to the possibility of other techniques, other ways of going about things. And so it's important to try, I guess, depending on who you're trying to reach out to speak in a language which is going to make it accessible. And that's going to vary depending on the audience. You know, if you're speaking to a group of corporates, then maybe it's going to be something slightly different that hooks their attention to. If you are speaking to some yoga teachers, for example. And so I think this is something that I'm navigating myself, because one thing that I want to do in this life is really, I see myself as bridging two very different worlds, my kind of lawyer life and then this well-being, holistic treatment, alternative therapies, and seeing that actually these worlds don't need to be so polarized and different. And so I think that adjusting the way we speak about different techniques, depending on the audience, is key. And using language that doesn't alienate people. Because one thing I find, for example, in the sort of spiritual world is that often there's language used that if you don't already have a completely open mind, it can be very alienating for someone who is just discovering new techniques. And also not just alienating, but there's a danger when we use language in certain ways and put labels and definitions on things. There's a danger of limiting actually through using the definition, shutting out people because they don't relate to that particular way of putting it. So that's why I think, you know, there's no easy answer, but I think it's just about, adjusting the way we communicate and sharing stories as well, because through when you speak with different people about their experiences and people from a diverse range of backgrounds, diverse range of experiences, then it's so much easier when someone hears of someone else who has done something who they can relate to that person, and then they think, okay, maybe this is for me as well. So I think a key part of bridging the gap is sharing those experiences and really starting a dialogue and finding out what do people want as well. You know, if someone is looking for something to cope with the stress of their work, or because they want to go deeper on their spiritual journey, you know, depending on where someone is in their stage of development or their outlook on life, they will be wanting different things.
Well, thank you for that. I think it's very, very helpful and it makes a lot of sense. And I'm just wondering, when you were still in your barista life and you were full on in your profession and you started doing dynamic meditation and you started your self-healing journey, have you ever had a chance to talk to your colleagues, barista colleagues, about what you were doing?
With dynamics specifically?
Yes, and other things as well.
So in terms of dynamic meditation, I haven't actually spoken with my colleagues about it. And it's more a very recent thing for me to start talking about my health and my healing journey. And I realized that for a long time, I mean, even though I'd started this amazing journey, and I was so passionate about it, even then, I had a lot of fear about disclosing the fact that I'd ever suffered from health issues to my professional community. And I only disclosed this actually when I was locked down in Costa Rica, when I was on holiday here last year. And then in the end, the borders closed and I ended up staying, and then took this sabbatical leave. And it was only then, well, the reason I took this sabbatical leave, and I did disclose what I had suffered from, and also the fact that the stress and pressure of the job had been re-triggering some of these health issues. And so essentially I kind of had to disclose this out of necessity in order to have this break from my business costs. And then I was originally very afraid about doing this, almost because I thought that would be a weakness, that people would see me differently. And after I did it, actually, I felt very liberated. And I started to realize this is a story that I do want to share and talk about, and that there is no shame about having had health issues or having health issues, that it is not a weakness to talk about these things. And so that is why now I'm actually stepping into that, and I am starting to talk with my colleagues about it. I even recently updated my LinkedIn to share what I'm actually doing now in my life. And it's something that I really am passionate about now, and in spreading the word. And I mean, that's why I'm here today with you as well. And it's strange how even though I had had such wonderful experiences for so long, I'd felt very closed up about it. I clearly still had these issues with fear. But now, now I've started to talk more with my colleagues about, you know, just different things about health. I've reached out to people who I know have suffered from COVID and the after effects of it, and just sharing little bits of information here and there about things that have helped me. And it's been the approach I've taken. It's been very much, you know, if someone has kind of opened up to me about something, you know, and normally this happens when I open up, they see, oh, this is somebody I can talk to about this. And the more that that happens, the more I realize that it's very important to continue this dialogue. And the more we open up, then the more we can open other people's eyes, give other people hope, and then for them to actually initiate, you know, what information do I want? Because I don't want to lecture anybody. I want to share what I've learned, but I don't want to suddenly assume this role of a coach or sort of say, this is what you should do, because everyone has such individual journeys. And I really believe that healing starts within. And unless we have that inner drive and motivation to make those changes, we're not going to be able to heal. So in some ways, my approach is a little bit hands off. You know, I will be very open to talk with people if they sort of step up and ask for advice. And I'm also very open to just talking in general about my experiences, but I've been a little bit hands off, if that makes sense.
Yes. No, look, it's really appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your story and opening up, because I think it's very helpful. And, you know, I had health issues when I was in London working so hard. And it's very difficult to pinpoint one specific. It's not like you have a car accident, you break your leg and the bone is broken, and you know that it's a consequence of the trauma, of the impact of the car, when there are so many other health issues that there is not a clear, evident cause. But one thing that I've noticed for me, and I see it recurrent, is that stress doesn't help. I don't know if it's the only cause, but if you're not feeling well and you're stressed, and that life in London with those professions can be extremely stressful, it's hard to recover from that. You know, however dynamic meditation you can do or anything else, it's tough. So I think we are moving towards more and more in a space where people are opening up and are talking about this, and we need to bridge, as you're doing it with your example in your life, because I'm sure that there are so many barristers out there who are struggling with health issues and stress, and they're not sharing it. So we need to start talking. And that's why also, you know, in the corporate world, there is more and more well-being offerings. It's happening, even though there are lots of limitations with that. I have my views, but at least it shows that there is a need to talk more about mental health, about stress, about the importance of, you know, recovery. And meditation is booming exactly because of the need of people are overstressed, you know, breaking down. And that's how meditation is becoming more and more popular. So I'm wondering, in addition to dynamic meditation, is there any other methods or tools or strategies that you found that has been very, very helpful for you?
So I suppose two of my other favorite techniques or practices are ecstatic dance, which is, there are many events now, again, booming. It's the idea of ecstatic dance is, it's a sober dance party, so no drugs or alcohol. And it's very much getting into a trance with the music, energy in the room. And I love to dance. And so for me, this was a very fun way of just going into a space where I can dance freely and really shake out whatever it is in my body. And I went into ecstatic dance after I'd already started dynamic meditation. So then I was able to bring almost some of the techniques I learned in dynamic into the ecstatic dance in terms of, you know, breathing and shaking things out from my body and then getting into a kind of meditative trance state. And the way that the ecstatic dance events are held are often very supportive of that going into a meditative trance kind of state in the movement of the dance. And just one thing on that in terms of movement, I know that the way that we are in society these days is many jobs, you know, we're very sedentary, we sit still all the time. And so it's very hard to, at the end of the day, meditate just by sitting still and clearing the mind, because we are still all the time. We need something different, some movement. So that is why dynamic is great. And ecstatic dance for me is like a much less intense dynamic. It's more of a kind of social thing to do, more of a party. But again, being able to connect with myself deeper in this meditative state. And something else that I really enjoyed when I was in London was hot yoga. And that is the hot yoga that I went to was less intense than Bikram yoga, the heat more subtle. And I found that very helpful for my joints, my inflammation. Sweating a lot helps to release toxins in the body. And I also found that the hot yoga helped regulate my blood sugar, actually. And also just improving my circulation. So I'd often experienced very cold hands and feet, and to the point where my hands and feet would get quite painful, particularly in the European winter. So for that reason, I really enjoy hot yoga. But I would also do around these practices like meditation and yoga. What was very important in my healing journey was also my diet, was also a number of other therapies that I tried, including infrared sauna, reflexology, acupuncture. I tried many things, and it's very hard to say it was, you know, this that worked more than that. But I suppose what I'm stressing is that what we need is often a very integrated approach. And sometimes it takes a lot of exploration to find out what works for our body. And this may change from time to time because our bodies are actually constantly changing. And an example of this is even the first time I had acupuncture, I left the treatment room feeling incredible. And I was like, this is it. This is what is going to fix me. And I was so excited about that. And then actually the next time I went for a treatment, I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel any difference. And sometimes, you know, that's because our bodies may need different things at different points. And just because one particular treatment helps to dislodge something or release something doesn't necessarily mean that it always will. And I think we often get trapped into thinking exactly that there is, you know, one pill that's going to fix everything, or, you know, even using the example of things going on in the world today, that a vaccine for the coronavirus is going to fix everything. But actually, it's not. Health is such a complex matter. Our bodies are so complex. Our bodies are so unique. One diet is not going to work for one person in the way it will for another. And that's just something I want to really emphasize, I think, for people, is that, you know, what we really need is to get in touch with what our bodies need, to get in touch with ourselves, to explore, be open-minded, not shut out any possibilities, because that is how we ultimately will find the answers that work for us.
Beautifully put, and totally agree. And I like this idea of not thinking that one single thing can fix everything. And, you know, sometimes you can go to a treatment, have an amazing result, and the day after you go again and nothing happens. It's so common, and it happened to me many times. I get excited but I think what I'd like to stress here is that for me and my understanding in my experience and what I've seen on myself and many others is that starting a meditation practice with dynamic meditation really opens all the doors for any treatments, any other approach, and any other meditation techniques you can do later, because of exactly what you were discussing before. So I'm not going to repeat that, but especially at the beginning, dynamic meditation is, for us living in 2021 nowadays with our lifestyle, is the most intelligent approach, the smartest way to start a meditation practice rather than sitting silently. And then, of course, you can sit silently, you can do yoga, you can do everything else, you can do ecstatic dance, you can enjoy and appreciate all the beauty of all the other methods, but you can have that opening through dynamic meditation. So that's why I'm so passionate, and I really feel like, you know, dynamic meditation has to be more out there, even though it's so difficult to kind of sell it because it's hard to do it and convey the message. And the other part is nutrition. I think nutrition is, unless you have a healthy diet, and that healthy diet can mean, you know, it's a very broad terms, and I'm not going to the details, but it's absolutely important to look after what you ingest in your body every single day, because if that's kind of poisonous and toxic to your body, you do it three or more times a day, and whatever else you do, you're going to really fight against all the gains you can get from other things. You're going to destroy and lose it all because of the toxin you ingest. So these two things I think I wanted to stress. So Cara, it's really fascinating talking to you. I'd love to wrap up this chat asking you about your latest projects, and if you would like to talk a little bit about this Healing Sanctuary project that you want to start in Costa Rica.
Thank you. Yes. So I had this idea when I just tuned in with the fact that, well, I want to share my way of life and all the things that I've learned in my own recovery and healing journey. And also I love to host people in my home to cook delicious food, to share music, to laughter, celebration. And so the idea was born that I want to create this sanctuary, which is like an extension of my home, where people can come for events, for retreats, ceremonies, to experience a new way of life and living, to eat healthy food, to share meditation practices, music and creative expression, which is another very important aspect of my life. And here in Costa Rica, I have really connected also with nature, and I've been appreciating how important connection with nature is for our well-being. So my vision is to create this sanctuary, to build in an ecological way that is very low impact and integrated with the land, to be self-sufficient with growing food, and then to host events and retreats and really have it like a community center. And another thing that's very important for me is to make it accessible, because I believe that health is, you know, a right. It's a human right. And it upsets me a lot to see that the wellness industry has become precisely that, an industry where, you know, you have these very expensive retreats, you pay a fortune to stay in a fancy resort, and you go for a week and then you go home, and actually there is no real change in the life. And what I want to do is to really create a space where people can actually be equipped with the skills to make the changes in their lives and to be inspired to make these changes. So, for example, with food, I don't want to just have a set menu where I have people cooking in the kitchen and then the food served for my guests. I want to make it an interactive and integrated experience so people can actually learn about nutrition and what they're putting into their bodies and how to prepare healthy meals. It doesn't have to be complicated and elaborate, little things that they can do to integrate into their own lives. So this is what I'm working on out here. And at the moment, I have found some beautiful land where I would like to start the project. So things are very much in their early stages, but I've been talking with different people who may wish to participate to offer their services. And I'm very much seeing where this grows and how this evolves. So I'm very open at the moment to anyone interested in sharing ideas, collaborating, and allowing things to unfold. And for me as well, another thing that I've been learning out here in Costa Rica is that I've realized the land itself is enough. The land itself is a sanctuary, is a place of healing. And so I have moments where I get a bit overwhelmed about these visions I have of what I want to create and how I'm going to build and the money and everything. And when I get stressed about that or starting to get worried or caught up in those ideas about the future, I just come back to the present and appreciate, you know, look at this beautiful earth right here. Let's, you know, we don't need a meditation deck to connect with the land, to sit and to watch the trees and the birds, to swim in the river. So that's one thing that I'm really noticing, and it's that which I want to share with people, just how the real simple things can really be life-changing and to motivate and inspire that reconnection with what are the very simple but fundamental things that we need to be happy here in life.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think when you said that the wellness industry is an industry and, you know, people have to pay so much money to become healthier, that more often doesn't really happen. But just to remind, as you said, that being in nature is free. Fasting is free. If you want to get some little bit of cold exposure, that is another thing we didn't discuss, but has a lot of health benefits, it's free. If you want to meditate, it's free. You can do it, especially if you are in nature, that comes naturally. Just take some time off, go in a park, or just be in nature on your own. And that's so healing itself. So it's nothing complicated and you don't have to pay for it. So the basic elements of health are all for free. And the vision you have is so beautiful, so inspirational. And I will link your contact details and website in the show notes of the episode. So anyone who is interested in sharing ideas and collaborating with you is very much welcome. And I really hope that your vision will materialize. And often happens that whatever we discuss in our life, we plant seeds of intentions, and then one day they will bear fruit. So wish you all the best with your project.
Thank you so much. Really, I appreciate it.
Okay, Cara. So again, it's been a real, real pleasure chatting and reconnecting with you after so many years. I lost touch, so I'm very happy that we reconnected and we are sharing a little bit of ourselves in this podcast. And I send you a big hug, lots of love, and stay in touch. Let's not lose touch again.
Absolutely. And I just want to say how grateful I am for the work that you are doing with dynamic meditation and sharing it with the world. And it is, I really feel like it had such a powerful impact on my life, and meeting you and Chetna in London had such a powerful transformational effect on me. So I'm very grateful for that. And I don't think that I would be where I am today if it wasn't for that process that started then. So thank you very much, and thank you for your time and for sharing.
Pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it and leave a review. Visit loveoshow.com for more episodes, blogs, or to connect with us.